From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. The filmmaker Helen Whitney has spent more than 3 years exploring the stories and the culture of Mormonism. And tonight, the first part of her weighty profile on the faith premieres on PBS stations across the country. If not entirely comprehensive, Whitney's film does cover a lot of ground, from Mormon history's sacred stories to the controversial questions of blacks in the priesthood, feminism, temple rituals, plural marriage, and of course, Mountain Meadows. At the center of it all could be this question posed by the Yale historian John Butler in the documentary. All religious systems, he says, have to move beyond their own creation.
Christianity did it. Islam did it. Judaism did it. The question is, can Mormonism do it?
Today in the program, we're profiling Helen Whitney's film, The Mormons, after this news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. At the beginning of Helen Whitney's documentary on Mormonism, she writes, "At a certain point, every religion must explore its sacred past. What is myth? What is symbol? Where does man end and God begin?" The documentary points out that it took Christianity 2,000 years to look at its founding stories with modern eyes. The Mormon sacred stories, Whitney writes, are so new they still smell of earth. Tonight, Whitney's documentary, The Mormons, will premiere on PBS stations around the country. The documentary is actually in two parts. Tonight, it airs as part of the documentary series, The American Experience. Tomorrow, it continues on the program, Frontline. Today in the program, we're profiling the film and asking Helen Whitney and others why Mormonism has always had a peculiar hold on the American imagination and why she thinks it's one of the great neglected American narratives. We invite you to join the conversation. 585-WEST is the number, 585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Well, before we hear from Helen Whitney, we have with us Ken Verdoya, good friend, KUED's director of production. Among his 20 documentaries are A Matter of Principle, which, of course, took on the question of plural marriage, and Utah, The Struggle for Statehood. He also appears prominently, we should say, in Helen Whitney's show, The Mormons. And Ken, good morning. Welcome. Thanks for being with
Doug,
us.
Doug, good to be here.
Well, let me ask you first of all, how difficult is it to talk about Mormonism? I mean, it's such a complicated story and in all kinds of ways. You've talked about it for years, written about it, explored it. What's your sort of reaction to the idea of how complicated a story it is? What kind of predicament it was for Helen Whitney?
Very, very difficult. I won't speak for Helen, but I will remember the conversation I had with her more than 3 years ago when she first informed me that she was going to undertake this totality of Mormonism, the past, the present, and even in some respects the future of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I held out the opinion back then. I said, you know, a lot of great filmmakers have ended up on the reefs in their career. They've literally gone ashore. They've crashed because they've taken this on. It's not the typical subject. Doug, when you wade in to religion, so much of it is viewed as an article of faith. The truest of true believers will question anything that a filmmaker does. By the same token, the greatest cynics are going to be disappointed that there's not enough cynicism, that cynicism should drive the piece. Yeah. So rather than any type of investigatory or documentary piece where you put all your facts in line, when you take on faith, you get into very deep water very quickly, and it's a challenge for any filmmaker. Now, Helen Whitney does it better than anyone I've ever met. She's done a brilliant biography of Pope John Paul II. Mm. She has also done a magnificent piece of work looking at spirituality after 9/11 called Faith and Doubt at Ground Zero. So if anybody could take this on, I kind of cheered her on and said, good luck, have at it. And now 3.5 years later, here she is.
What are you noting about the reaction? I mean, no one has really seen it all yet. It is a 4-hour documentary, extensive in the subjects that it takes on. Are you hearing a reaction to it already?
I've been visiting a lot of blog sites on the internet, and what's interesting is virtually every one of them contains a majority of, aha, I knew it. I knew they were going to interview that person. How could they do a fair program if that person was involved? Fill in the blank on who that person might be. So there's a lot of jumping to conclusions. And as I've been interviewed or people have contacted me and say, what do you think, Ken? A good friend of mine said, this is going to be a Rorschach test. Mm. Everybody knows what a Rorschach test is. Yeah. It's that big blotch of ink that appears on the paper. One person looks at it and says, it's two puppies playing in a field. The next person looks at it and says, it's my mother-in-law making my life a living hell. So it all depends what you bring to viewing that. And I think that's what's going to play out dramatically over the next two nights for viewing the Mormons. People of great faith will find much that is faith-promoting. People of a more close observing, history-based analysis will also find things that they find satisfactory. Mm. So I think people are going to take away great benefit, and they're also going to be disappointed in aspects.
Do you find that there are two extremes often represented in any conversation related to Mormonism? On one hand, you find those sort of determined to once and for all reveal finally either A, that Mormonism is a fraud founded by a charlatan, or on the other hand, those determined to protect the sacred stories and reveal for once and all that in fact this is the one true faith.
And what's fascinating about that is there's 170 years of tradition that goes into that. People, when I did my first documentary that touched on the history of the LDS Church, people said, well, whose version are you going to tell?
Yeah, yeah.
And I naively assumed that there was something that could be objective, that could explore and do justice to those people who take great faith from this religious movement and those who also have questions about it. I still think that can be done, and I think that's what Helen attempted to negotiate. But there will always be people who look at this and say, it's either faith-promoting or it's a dagger at our back, and therefore it's not to be trusted. I'm urging people to drink in the totality of these two nights if they possibly can, because I think on balance it's going to be a great information tool for the American people.
But what does that reveal, though, that there are those who are determined to find their preconceived notion in all of this?
I have had that dialogue so many times with people, not just here in Utah, but throughout the Western United States, even throughout the world, as people have taken up this notion of this this religious organization, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. People take such great comfort from their membership, and the people that have left the church have such compelling stories to tell. So it really is a pendulum that swings very, very broadly. And it's each in the eye of the beholder. So I don't have a definitive answer. Why do people do this? It's a passion. People believe they found an extraordinary path to deliverance, to eternal deliverance, if you will, and others feel they have been victimized. So it's always going to be that tortured discussion at times when people try to sit down and discuss the religion from their own unique experience and beliefs.
Well, let's bring Helen Whitney into the conversation.
I'm so glad that Helen's here.
Helen Whitney is with us. Worked as a producer, director, writer of documentaries for some 35 years. Her work includes, as Ken mentioned, Frontline's John Paul II, The Millennial Pope, Faith and Doubt at Ground Zero. The Mormons airs tonight and tomorrow on Frontline and the American Experience on KUED Channel 7, and we should mention also on KBYU. Helen Whitney is joining us today from PBS station WNET in New York. And Helen Whitney, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for including me. And hi, Ken.
Hi, Helen.
Helen Whitney, let me ask you first of all, when did you first start taking an interest in Mormonism? And what exactly about the faith was it that really intrigued you?
I met some Mormons at the University of Chicago, and they were smart and funny and irreverent and passionate about their faith. And so that's just one answer, sort of close up front. I got to meet some members of the church whom I liked a great deal. I haven't really seen since then. But the real reason is that, you know, in some regards, the spiritual landscape is my beat. And I started out filming a Trappist monastery and living inside that monastery, a little house on the walls, about 25 years ago. And it was a life-changing experience, both personally and professionally. But I was fascinated by a radical religious commitment. Mm. And while the monks and Mormons are very different, one religion very much of this world and the other in some respects out of this world. It's for both. It's an all-encompassing religion, and it's not a Sunday religion. It's not even a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon religion. It's a seven-day week one, and I was fascinated with that. I really was, and I always wanted to do another film after the monastery film that really looked at such a commitment.
You say that the Mormon story is one of the great neglected American narratives. What do you mean?
I'm stunned by just simply how little is known. You know, I was startled when I was making the film, and I have to say in the last two or three weeks, having had screenings and having answered questions even of, you know, interviewers, how little is known now. I mean, you know, even though it's the Mormons are front center to some extent because of Romney, I mean, I've had questions that and they're well-meaning questions. I don't mean hostile questions that are as stunning as, A, do all Mormons live in Utah? That I get a lot. But do they read? Do they watch television? Are they the Amish? I mean, that's pretty startling. I mean, I usually hear, are they all polygamous?
Yeah.
So we're just talking at a base level that's so primitive, actually, in understanding who these people are. So
You began this project, as Ken mentioned, more than 3 years ago.
More than 3 years ago.
Yeah. How did your vision for it change, and how has it evolved to what you've what you're presenting tonight?
Well, I think it took a while for me to sort of see my way through a structure for the film. That was a huge event, and I have to say I passed it through. Ken vetted it as well, and I, you know, when you first enter into it, it's just overwhelming. And then, of course, when you leave it, it's overwhelming as well. But I really began to sort of grope my way to an understanding of what those key defining events, ideas, themes were, so I could structure each act in the film around them. And that once I had my hands around that, it became a little bit easier. It never was easy. Mm. And the film, as you know, is 4 hours, and it's thematic and not chronological strictly, and it's certainly not comprehensive, but it moves from these themes of revelation and persecution and exodus and the Great Accommodation and family and temple, and you know, and within each act, obviously, there is some history, but it's trying to circle in on that idea or event. So,
how do you? I'm not sure what the kind of reaction you're getting yet. We were talking with Ken earlier. Not sure if you were able to hear at that point that part of the conversation we were talking about. That you have some extremes often involved in this story. On one side, those, as we said, who are intent about, you know, unmasking Mormonism as a fraud. On the other hand, those convincing the world that it is the one true faith, a perfect faith founded by a legitimate prophet of God. Is there much movement in the middle? Do you find that's where the story really is? Is they're in the middle, not at the extremes?
Well, I haven't had much response yet because it's airing tomorrow. But I had an interesting screening last night, and it was a lot of my friends. And yes, they're all New Yorkers, but there is really quite a good deal of variety among my friends. And I was really pleased. Most of them, my friends, are secular, and they arrive with their own preconceptions. They're literate in ways that maybe other people aren't about who the Mormons are, but, you know, skeptical about the premise that the Mormons are both other and they are us. And I was really pleased that the range of response in my living room was the way they could see this as an American religion in many respects. They could see their own religion being reenacted in the early stages of Mormonism. And I began to just sort of hear the breaking down of the wall of, yes, they're interesting, but they're other, I can see myself there, and that was thrilling.
Let me read you an email that came this morning as we were promoting this particular program, and get you to react to it, because I think it reveals something about just how controversial, I guess, the story can be. It's from Ryan in Salt Lake, who writes this. Using just one example, mitochondrial DNA fingerprinting proves, he writes, that the LDS Church is promoting a lie, that Native Americans came from the Middle East. This debunks Joseph Smith, he writes. My question to Helen Whitney is, did you acknowledge the hard science, the linguistic, archaeological, and genetic that proves the church to be false in your documentary? And if not, why not? Is there journalistic and artistic integrity in avoiding the truth? I guess you can react to the particulars of the question, but it also, it's so definitive, and I'm wondering what you make of that kind of reaction.
Well, of course, I hear it a great deal, but then I think, you know, Harold Bloom said it best. If you're at all interested in religion, abandon all hope, ye who think you can prove it scientifically. I mean, if you're looking at Christianity, if you're looking at Judaism, it's you can't bring to the table sort of standards of scientific evidence, or you can't judge a sacred text by secular plausibility. One of our interviews with was not in the show, but we spoke to him, is that wonderful Old Testament scholar Jacob Neusner, and you know, it's he said so definitively to us, you know, you don't judge a sacred narrative, you know, by standards of secular plausibility. You judge a narrative by its power to change lives and by people's willingness to believe in it. And I mean, if, you know, there's no archaeological evidence of Exodus. Hello. And I don't think that sort of deterred many Jews over centuries. And you go on and on. I you know, there's just anyone who is really entering the scientific sort of game of or standards of secular plausibility just to prove whether religion is true or not, I think will be sorely disappointed.
You do make the point that Mormonism isn't really unlike religions in that it requires a deep sense of faith. As we go into a break, I want to play a clip that you referred to by the great literary and cultural critic Harold Bloom.
All religion, Western and Eastern, is founded upon miracle. It makes little sense to present arguments against Joseph Smith and early Mormonism that would extend equally well to what we are told about the origins of what will eventually be Judaism, the origins of Christianity, the origins of Islam. All religion depends upon revelation. All revelation is supernatural. If you wish to be a hard rock empiricist, then you should not entertain any religious doctrine whatsoever.
Harold Bloom from the documentary The Mormons. Helen Whitney is with us, producer of the new Frontline and American Experience documentary. Ken Verdoya also with us, KUED Channel 7's director of production, also figured prominently in the film. The Mormons airs tonight at 8 o'clock and continues tomorrow evening, also at 8 on KUED Channel 7, and we should mention on KBYU Channel 11. We need to take a brief break. We invite you to join us. 585 West is the number, 585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Back in a moment. This is Radio West on FM 90. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're profiling a new four-hour national documentary from PBS, which offers an extensive examination of the Mormon faith. Beginning tonight with the series American Experience and continuing tomorrow with the program Frontline, filmmaker Helen Whitney explores the sacred stories of Mormon history to give context to the present reality of this uniquely American religion. Today in the program, Helen Whitney is with us, along with Ken Verdoya, to talk about why it is Mormonism has always had that peculiar hold on the American imagination and why she thinks it's one of those great neglected American narratives. We invite you to join us. 585 West is the number, 585-9378, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Helen Whitney, I want to get this out of the way. I wanted to ask about your relationship with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints itself. Some of the footage in the documentary comes from some church productions, so there must have been some level of cooperation, understanding, I guess.
There was, and the important part of it was that the church, after having reviewed my films and looking at them, and I think at a new place in regards to journalists, agreed that they would be open. They would not. They would in no way discourage their members talking to me, and that they would give me the kind of access that they give to all journalists looking through their their archives, photographic archives. But the most important, important part of that relationship, was one of trust. They saw my films, while critical of the Pope and critical of some religious figures, as basically the tone being respectful but not uncritical. They haven't seen the film yet. They had no input in the film. All they did was when members of their faith called, and many of them did after I contacted them and said, I'd like to talk to you about X, Y, or Z, they would call central headquarters or their bishop and basically I assume that they were told it was fine to talk to me. That was the extent of the cooperation, but it meant a great deal. It really did. It would have been a very different film if I had only sort of spoken to a certain number of people, but I really was able to talk to anybody I wanted to. So,
did you you take on some of the sort of most crucial taboos within Mormonism? You talk about some of the controversies related to the Mormon Genesis story, the sacred stories of history. You even deal with some of the particulars of the Mormon temple ceremony. I mean, some quite sacred, quite controversial things there. How did you decide you wanted to deal with those aspects of Mormonism?
Well, I was – let's take the temple as an example.
Yeah.
And I certainly vetted that through my consultant, Jan Shipps, that I was not stepping over any lines. I understand how sacred and private the temple is, and what I did talk about is talked about, by Mormons, the baptism for the dead. I didn't go to any place that I don't think I should have, or at least I didn't go in any way that wasn't respectful.
But you didn't think you went fairly close to a boundary. I mean, there was a point in the documentary where you refer to particular aspects of the ceremony. An aspect of the temple ceremony that's quite, was secret or sacred by Mormons. I think it's going to raise some eyebrows, and I just wonder how you thought about that part.
Are we talking about the
Judith Freeman part where she's talking about the oaths and that aspect of the temple ceremony?
Well, that was something that's been very well documented in the New York Times and elsewhere, Newsweek, and I did discuss it. It's no law. Those particular oaths have, I don't know what the word is, but they have been changed, and they're no longer part of that conversation that people have inside the temple. So that is now past history, not present history.
What do you think? This is such an American story, such an American religion, almost uniquely so.
It is. There was a wonderful man in the longer cut who's no longer in the shorter cut, Carmen Hardy. Mm. And he, in an interview with me, and I wish I could remember how he expressed it, he said, Mormonism is quintessentially an American, and what it does, it takes sort of core qualities of America and takes them one step further. For instance, I wish this interview was part of it. He said, the country's boundless optimism. The American dream is writ large. Not only can any man, according to the dream, achieve a certain kind of wealth and even run for president, men, if they live righteously, can become gods. I mean, it's taking a core idea, that American optimism, and taking it even further. I mean, how about the Gatsby-like talent that is so quintessentially American for reinvention? I mean, look at the story of the Great Accommodation, which is one of totally neglected narratives in which a people perceived as outsiders, as subversive, as reviled, are, you know, almost mainstream. And then finally, look at exceptionalism, that whole idea of, was it Jonathan Edwards, that we are a sort of shining city on the hill? Well, you know, the Mormons say not only that, not only do we have a special destiny, but all of history actually began on the North American continent, and the Garden of Eden was located someplace in Missouri. It's that taking it, it's kind of encompassing the idea, taking it, embodying it, and taking it yet further. Mm. Very American. I mean,
Kendra, do I want to get your perspective on that? The writer Simon Worrell says in the piece that Joseph Smith puts Americans at the center of the Christian drama. He situated the United States within the biblical story.
Well, I have a little bit different take on this. And to me, the whole story of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the American experience is important because they are central in the nation defining its own parameters. What does it mean to engage in the free exercise of religion? Our Congress, our presidents, our Supreme Courts will define that. What does it mean to be at variance with a cultural norm? Mm. We will define that. We will allow only so much leeway. And so when Helen talks about the accommodation, which she explores in the program, one of the real salient features of the LDS Church for me has always been the way the nation has defined the very essence of Americanism when it comes to religion through its interactions with the LDS Church over the past 170 years.
You know, it's interesting. Can you say that in the piece that the story is not about just what it means to be unique, but what it means to deal with being unique? How do you go, as you say in the piece, from being the ultimate outcast to the embodiment of the mainstream in just two generations?
And this is the great challenge. And this is why when Helen and I had our first conversations, lo, these many, many months ago, Helen, and they were so fascinating because she was immediately drawn to this notion of understanding the genesis of this religious movement, but also the evolution of it over time and this great becoming of a 21st century religious entity that would now have a Senate majority leader, a significant candidate for president of the United States. And she was really drawn to this notion of accommodation. And the one of all the areas that Helen Whitney will be graded on this, she has done a magnificent job in helping an American public understand the evolution of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the 20th century into this manifestation that we see now.
Throughout the film, you get the sense of why Mormonism is unique in the American experience. I mean, beyond just the particulars of its theology. And Helen Whitney, you talk about why it seemed to be uniquely threatening, why it prompts such strong feelings. And one of those areas of distinction that you deal with in the film is this idea of having recent history as part of its theology. And I want to play another clip. This is from Terrell Givens, a professor from the University of Richmond and Mormon author.
Well, I think there's no question that the church rises or falls on the veracity of Joseph Smith's story. History as theology is perilous. If it turns out that the whole story of Christ's resurrection was a fabrication, then Christianity collapses. That's the price we pay for believing in a God who intervenes in human history, who has real interactions with real human beings in real space and time. That makes it historical, and that's a reality that we just can't flee away from.
What's important about that? This is where you say in the film that, you know, Christianity's had something like 2,000 years to deal with all of that. But this seemed an important theme for you.
Well, it is, because I think, you know, within looking at all religions, there seems to be a moment in all their histories when each religion has to sort of meet modernity, and how they do it really sort of affects the course of their history. And there is always that struggle when a religion says, all right, which part of my sacred story is history? What part is theology? What part is myth? What part is shadow side? And some religions sort of out of that encounter move decisively to metaphor and lose a kind of literalness. Mm. Others sort of hunker down and say, we're not going to change at all. And then there is always that struggle in the middle, which is what is distinctively ours and is rooted in history that we cannot give up, and what should we really not so much give up but look at in a deep and mythic way. And I think Mormonism is sort of at that point. And sometimes you hear the very strict, stark choices, and President Hinckley makes them in the film. He says it's either a fraud or it is the greatest spiritual truth there ever was. And I know for Terrell Givens, it is that stark as well. But I think there are many Mormons whom I've met who are struggling in that middle ground. They want to keep what's distinctive about their religion, and yet they want to see what's metaphorical and mythic about it as well. So I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah. And Ken, what do you think about that? I mean, you do find obviously Christians who still believe in a Jesus Christ, whether or not that was a divine figure who was resurrected or not. The principle is important to their lives. Do you think Mormons are adapting, modern Mormons are adapting in some way, moving from that sort of clarity expressed by Gordon Hinckley?
Well, this is very interesting, and this points out how two filmmakers approach the same subject very differently. Helen's mastery is on dealing with these extraordinarily delicate spiritual issues that exist in the human heart and mind. I have always treated the evolution and the history of the LDS Church as political, social, and cultural history, which means I, by definition, approach it differently. And so, as a result, I come to different conclusions, but I sit here in absolute awe of what Helen has been able to achieve, because she has approached this not just from the top down, and that's been my failure. I've gone to the official record and I've sought to understand things. She is actually engaged in understanding this from the grassroots, from the heart, mind, and soul of individual members up. And that's been the beauty of her approach. And she has been patient. She has been diligent. She has been indefatigable. Do I have problems with portions of the program? Helen and I have argued. We've argued. I mean, nobody should ever think that two filmmakers will always agree. But I come out of this with absolute 100% respect for her as a filmmaker for delivering the very, very best product that she set out to deliver.
Helen Whitney, it's a decent segue for a question I want to ask, and that is I wanted to get you to react to some of the coverage, some of the local coverage anyway, that the film has gotten here in this market. One local television station, the ABC affiliate, has reported that several sources to the PBS film have said that a more negative slant is being pushed by some involved in the project. This television piece was reported by a local reporter named Chris Van Oker, who says this: reportedly, Whitney has had to re-edit her Mormon documentary several times, that because, according to our sources, quoting here, she was told the project was too positive in favor of the LDS Church and a more expose-like approach was needed. I wanted to get you to react to that.
Well, I think the person who is talking, whom I don't know, doesn't understand the nature of the collaborative enterprise that a film is. I mean, they're, you know, obviously every director, producer, writer would like their cut to be final, and they never are. And, you know, almost every film I've ever worked on as director and producer, there have been conflicting ideas and there's been some struggle, and out of that comes a film that everybody can live with and be proud of. So that's my answer to that question.
585 West, the number to join the conversation, 585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Let's take a call from Joel, who is in Orem. Joel, welcome to the program.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
The question I have for the author is if she got into the question in dissent. I mean, I call myself an ex-Jack Mormon because I'm active again, but it's always been the questioning of the literalness of the Book of Mormon or other questions, and I find that when I question, I'm either punished or ostracized or ignored, and it's not safe to question sometimes.
You know, can I respond to
of
that?
Of course, no, of course.
What you have just remarked upon is something I wish I had spent more time on in this film, which is the emphasis, and I've said this to the apostles whom I've spoken to and I've been struck by it, the emphasis that this religion places on certainty and the way in which doubt, which in my tradition, the Protestant tradition, is encouraged, it's seen as and intimately connected to faith. But I have felt frequently that doubt can be seen as undermining of the faith, as dangerous to the faith, and I feel and I have met a really wide range of closet doubters inside the faith who feel a bit like you do that a public airing, whether it's in Sunday school or adult classes or in Bible classes or even sometimes within a marriage, is not encouraged. And I have been struck by that. I mean, I have. And I've been struck by going to a testament meeting, testimonial meetings.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Testimony meeting, yeah.
Testimony meetings. And they're very moving. And yet to an outsider, to hear the ubiquitous phrase, I know, when, in my tradition, it's more I hope or I believe or I intuit. It's quite startling, though. I do want to add that I've gotten to know so many Mormons now, and I do have a sense that even in that certainty of phrasing, there it can be a many-layered encounter with the divine, and it can be textured and quite complicated. The I know.
The series section on the in the film where you talk, in fact, about this idea of intellectualism and its role in Mormonism is interesting. I mean, you interview some of the highest ranks of Mormonism. Two Mormon apostles particularly appear in this section, Elder Dallin Oaks of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles and Boyd K. Packer of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. I want to play a clip from Elder Oaks where he talks about this. You know, the question in this particular section is whether or not there is, in fact, an anti-intellectual strain going on within Mormonism now. And Elder Oaks says this, and I want to get you to react. Let's play this.
The scriptures speak of prophets as being watchmen on the tower with the responsibility to warn when an enemy approaches the enclosure of the faithful. I think all of the leaders of the church are conscious of an obligation to warn the people when there's a danger. I think in any day, the watchmen on the tower are going to say, intellectualism is a danger to the church. And it is at extreme points. And if people leave their faith behind and follow strictly where science leads them, that can be a pretty crooked path.
So what did you conclude from that? What is the relationship between, you know, Orthodox Mormonism and intellectualism?
Well, that's a pretty broad question. I mean, I feel that in so many ways Mormonism embraces the intellectual journey, but they're famous for that. I mean, Joseph Smith was famous for it. Write up your biography or your memoir and read and there's all that kind of encouragement. But at the same time, there are some third rail topics, and they happen to be perhaps Mormon history and feminism and other areas in which you have to proceed carefully. And I do sense a sort of an openness and a feeling expressed to me by various members of the church, the hierarchy, that there will be this sort of encouragement to sort of look deeply and no holds barred. But it is baffling to me, though. At the same time, I want to say that, you know, all traditions, all religious traditions, they do set out boundaries beyond which you can be no longer part of the church. But the Mormons seem to do it in a more frequently, and I do feel there is a message, sort of a chills that sometimes people feel that there are these areas that you should proceed diplomatically and carefully.
Helen Whitney is the producer of the new Frontline and American Experience documentary, The Mormons. Ken Verdoy is also with us in studio. KUED Channel 7's director of production figures prominently in the documentary, we should mention. The Mormons airs tonight at 8 o'clock, continues tomorrow evening, also at 8 on KUED Channel 7 and KBYU Channel 11. We invite you to join us, 585 West, the number, our email address, radiowest@KUER.org. We're going to take another break. Back in a moment. This is Radio West on FM 90. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're profiling a new four-hour documentary from PBS, which offers an extensive examination of the Mormon faith. The writer, director, producer Helen Whitney is joining us from PBS station WNET in New York. Also with us is KUED's director of production, himself a documentary filmmaker, of course, Ken Verdoya. And we invite you to join us, 585 West, the number 585-9378. Let's take another call. Christine is with us, calling from Kaysville. Christine, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
You know, I just really don't like the way some things are represented. And I know that this person making the film has tried to show some really equal sides here. But Christianity is not a religion. And to base Mormonism on the Christian scriptures is really crazy because they're not mythological. Even Paul said to the Athenians that he saw that they were very religious people, and he wanted to talk to them about this God that they didn't know. Saying that the world was created by a bunch of used-to-be men and women, and going through this whole thing, it just really it's upsetting for somebody who has a faith in something that's real to hear this always touted as myth. And I always tell people that in Hebrew, that first verse of the Bible that we say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, in Hebrew that reads, it reads time, space, and matter. God created it out of nothing and into nothing. And I don't see anything that that goes against science in the Bible. I just don't see it. So
maybe I'm in this
grand illusion, but I don't see Mormonism being the same intellectual faith as the Christian faith is.
You don't see the Bible full of supernatural miracles?
Yes, of course. I think the God that had to create time, space, and matter must be above the natural. I believe that. But I also believe that the God who created time, space, and matter can intervene in the natural and can reveal himself in the natural. But I don't think he does it by giving us a book that talks about mythological places and mythological people and things that never really came about.
Hmm. Okay, well, we're glad you called.
Okay,
Helen Whitney, you want to react?
Well, that's... I'm fine.
This is why I've always stayed in the political realm. And that's what because the deep end of the pool on this is so deep that a filmmaker of my limited means could never negotiate the waters for fear of sinking to the bottom. It is an endless debate, and there are so many takes on it. And as you could tell from that call, with such a fervent conviction, that this is going to, and there's nothing wrong with a documentary fueling this type of dialogue and discussion. I was telling you before we went on the air, Doug, that I've been getting all these emails from people, including last week, some people on the Pacific Coast saying, literally, they were calling from Mormon gatherings, ward houses, saying, should we advertise for people to watch this next week? And I said, well, maybe most important is rather than outsiders watching is you watching it as well and discussing it. And then there were formal announcements made yesterday in ward houses all around North America. One was sent to me. We were neither encouraged nor discouraged to watch the documentary in a formal statement by the bishop. That's a statement. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I need your attention. You are neither encouraged nor discouraged to watch the documentary. It's one of those statements that's just there, and I hope people will spend the time, invest 4 hours Monday and Tuesday night, and then engage in the dialogue afterwards.
585 West, the number to join the conversation, 585-9378, our email address, radiowest@KUER.org. One of the things that you take on in an intriguing way, Helen Whitney, is the way Mormons redefine the nature of God for the Christian world. And I want to play another clip. This is, again, the Mormon author, Terrell Givens, talking about, and maybe you can set this up for us, he talks about the way Mormons collapsed the sacred distance. Say something about that, if you would.
That is such an interesting idea of Terrell's and the way he talks about it. I mean, I think for him, the unique heresy and blasphemy for others of Mormonism is the way it collapses sacred distance between God and man, and perhaps this is what has caused some of the hostility, because this religion is startlingly concrete. God is embodied. The golden plates existed. God is of flesh and bone, and we are genetically related to him, as Mormons feel. And there are no radical discontinuities separating the divine from the familiar things of everyday life. I mean, the Mormons disregard the canons of mystery and the ineffable that structures much of Christian understanding of divinity. It really, and he puts it so well. I'd love you to play. He says it much better than I do, but I think he's really onto something.
Well, here he is, Terrell Givens.
I think one of the hallmarks of Joseph Smith's thought was the collapse of sacred distance. That generally is held to be an absolutely essential ingredient in our experience of the divine. That sense of worshipful distance that should obtain between man and his God. He did this by arguing that when revelations came to him, they came through vehicles as palpable and earthly as seer stones or Urim and Thummim or gold plates. That God himself was once as we are, that he is embodied. That level of detail and specificity isn't supposed to obtain when we're talking about things that are supposed to be ineffable. It was an affront to traditional religious faith in ways that were troubling and threatening.
Do you think this is what gets at the reason that Mormonism sort of continues to be, you know, a question mark in sort of mainstream Christianity, that that principle, do you think that's central to understanding that, to all of this?
I think it's a part of it. I think when historians like John Butler said in the film, he was looking at persecution in relation to the 19th century, but it could relate to – and he was saying, look, I can – as a historian, I can look at the economic threat of Mormons. They were so successful, the political threat, the theocratic threat. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons. And of course, there were personal practices like polygamy that were foreign and alien. But he said there's something – there's a mysterious other layer to the sense of unease that people have around Mormons. And I think Terrell is really onto something. I think so many people are more comfortable in thinking about God as ineffable, as not contained by sort of words, not familiar, and not in our daily lives in the way that he is and described. I think Terrell is onto something, and most historians, including even Richard Bushman, said this to me, there's a mysterious other layer that I can't quite get my hands around.
Well, as Butler says, Ken Verdoy, you know, historians have a hard time putting their finger on all of this. Have you gotten close to understanding that?
I've gotten close to understanding the passion of someone such as Terrell Givens. Huh. And I met Terrell for the first time in Los Angeles this past January and had a marvelous, marvelous conversation with him. We come from two very, very different traditions. He is a man of literature and deep spirituality. I, of course, am a journalist, which means I'm a fallen soul to begin with. but in talking with Terrell, I came to appreciate he and his wife, Fiona, have such a special relationship with their Creator and their faith, then you can only come away with great respect for it. And that's what I think is my role, is to be respectful of their great passionate belief. It is not a belief that I share, and it is clearly pointed out every time the media reports on something where I comment, they identify that Ken Verdoya is not a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I don't think that precludes me from studying the religion. I don't think that precludes me from understanding its historical roots in the American experience.
Helen Whitney, let me ask you this finally. Going back to the historian John Butler, he says something interesting that I referred to at the top of the program, that all religious systems have to move beyond their own creation. And many systems have found that it's been very difficult to do. As we said, Christianity did it. Islam did it. Judaism did it. The question is, can Mormonism do it? And what do you think? Is there an answer yet to that question, whether they can move beyond that?
I mean, I don't – there isn't an answer because it hasn't happened yet.
Sure.
But I am totally confident in that they will. I think he was quite specifically talking about Mormons coming to terms with, as all of us have to in different religious traditions, the messiness of their history, as Christians have to do that and Jews have to do it, and not just come to terms with it, but – and I don't mean celebrate it either, but just to own it as part of their rich history of you know, and their bold ideas. And I think he was talking about that in particular. And then, of course, I think he was thinking about that larger moment when a religion meets modernity and having to sort of struggle with what the religion will keep literally, historically, and what it will sort of gracefully move out into metaphorically. Yeah. And I think if off camera, John Butler was very confident that the Mormons had a rich history ahead of them.
Helen Whitney, the producer, writer, director of the new Frontline and American Experience documentary, The Mormons. The Mormons airs tonight at 8 o'clock, continues tomorrow evening, also at 8 o'clock on KUED Channel 7 and KBYU Channel 11. Helen Whitney joined us from PBS station WNET in New York. Helen, thanks very much for being with us.
And thank you for inviting me.
And Ken Verdoya, KUED Channel 7's director of production. Ken, thank you very much.
As always.
Radio West is a production of KUER News, the program directed by Mike Anderson, produced by Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.